We're in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, beginning at verse 13. For I myself say to you, the Gentiles, over as long as indeed I myself am an apostle of the Gentiles, I glorify or magnify my ministry. If how I should make my flesh jealous, that is, his countrymen, and should save some from out of them. For if their casting away is reconciliation of the world, what is their reception except life from out of the dead? And if the first fruit is holy, the lump also is holy. And if the root is holy, also are the branches. And if some of the branches were cut out, and you of the wild olive tree were engrafted in among them, and became a fellow participant of the root and of the richness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. And if you should boast, should not be that you bear up the root, but that the root bears up you. Therefore, what shall we say? That the branches were broken off in order that we might be grafted in, you say well. So we see that continuing next week as he continues about the branches. But in verses 13 to 24, it's very important to see that Paul is continuing his message about the election, about the sovereignty of God, and God's plan for Israel. In verses 13 through 15 that we saw last week, the motivation for Paul's preaching. Very interesting that Paul was motivated and compelled to preach the gospel to the Gentiles so that the Jews would eventually be saved. Sounds kind of backwards, but once he came to the understanding that in God's plan, he was going to temporarily reject his chosen people and make available to the Gentiles the promises of salvation that he originally made to the Jews, and to the Gentiles he would have them grafted into the olive tree, which is a symbol of Israel, so that the Jews would see the Gentiles with their Messiah, make them jealous, and cause them to receive Jesus Christ as their Messiah. So when Paul saw this whole plan of God, he decided that his compelling, his motivation is to get out and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Now that's how the Jews were going to become jealous and get saved. So once he figured God's plan, it motivated him for the preaching. But he magnifies his office in verse 13 to accomplish two things, that he might make the Jews jealous, that he might save some amongst them. He says in verse 15, for if their casting away is reconciliation of the world, what will their reception be except life from the dead? So if in God rejecting Israel for a while, temporarily, was reconciliation for the world, that is for the world to be reconciled to God, just think what a blessing it's going to be for the world when the Jews are receptive of their Messiah. So they have rejected him. God has placed them aside. And reconciliation is made to the world to be reconciled with God. So if their rejection is for our blessing, think how much more of a blessing it's going to be for us when they are receptive to the things of Christ. It is going to be life from out of the dead, spiritual life. Verse 16, as we begin our study, we did last week on the olive tree and the olive branches. And if the first fruit is holy, so also is the lump. As we gave you introduction last week, the Jews were instructed to bring the first fruit, the first section, the first part of their crop, and sacrifice it to God. Because once it had been declared holy, then it was a declaration for all of the rest of the harvest. That's why when you're in the book of Malachi, and it's talking about the windows of heaven being closed up, it's because the Jews, just that small portion, just the first fruits, they wouldn't even bring them for sacrifice before the Lord. They wanted the whole crop. Of course, the whole crop was theirs, but there was a first fruit, a first part of the crop that they dedicated to the Lord and submitted to Him. And in that doing that, it sanctified the whole crop. And they were free to go out and to harvest that crop and eat and sell. But they didn't even sacrifice the small portion at the beginning. They started giving no sacrifice to God. So God closed up the windows of heaven. And that's why in Malachi it talks about not bringing your tithe into the storehouse. It's not talking about money. In fact, there wasn't any tithing in the Old Testament that had anything to do with money. It had to do with crops. Other tithing had to do with animals. The first of the herd, the first of the crops they were to bring. That's why Malachi says that you have not brought your tithe into the storehouse, therefore the windows of heaven have been closed up to you. Once you start bringing your tithe, your crop, into the storehouse, which is storehouse stores food, then the Lord will open up the windows of heaven and He'll bring rain, which will be a blessing to your crop. That's the context of Malachi. Not how it's used today, used symbolically to say God will open up the windows of heaven to you, meaning bless your finances and good luck and everything else if you bring your tithe. We don't teach that here. We just lock the door so no one can get out until they do. But he says, if the first fruit is holy, so also is the lump. Doesn't make sense. We're talking about fruit, and then we're talking about a lump of dough. This quote has come from Numbers 15, verses 17 to 21. Numbers 15, 17 to 21. In that text, the Hebrew says, if the first of the lump becomes holy, sacrificed and dedicated to the Lord, then the rest of the lump is holy. The Greek of that text says the first fruit of the lump. Paul seems to be thinking of or having the Septuagint before him as he's remembering this text, as he mentions first fruit, meaning the first fruit of the lump, first fruit of dough, Numbers 15, 17 to 21. So he's presenting this. First fruit, the first fruit is representative of the believing Jews. They are the first fruit, the first Jews who believed. They, therefore, are in place for the sanctification of the rest of the believing Jews who would come later. And if the root is holy, so also are the branches. Whatever condition the root is in, so will be the branches, unless the branches have been cut off at the source of life, flowing through the trunk, from the roots to the trunk, and then out into the limbs. If the root is checked and said to be holy, but the branch is dead, then there's something wrong with the branch, because the root is holy. So also the rest of the branches are holy, that is, those who are producing fruit on God's vine. And if some of the branches were broken off, And you yourself of the wild olive tree, you were grafted in among them and became a fellow partaker of the root and of the richness of the olive tree. Then the command, do not boast against the branches. Do not boast against the branches. Paul gives by way of explanation, but he also gives a warning. He says that the olive tree in the Old Testament was representative of Israel. The root is holy. The trunk is holy. But the branches who are not bearing fruit, they will be removed. But in God's plan and design, he takes the Gentiles and he grafts them in to the natural olive tree. We Gentiles are said to be from the wild olive tree. And we are grafted into the good olive tree. And therefore, we are partakers with the believing Jews. Believing Jews and believing Gentiles are now in the same olive tree together. So he says, now that you are in place with other believing Jews, do not boast against the branches. Paul is saying that Gentiles can come to a place where they have this mental frame of mind that we are like the natural branches, and we aren't. We are not natural. We're grafted in, but we are not the ones. We are saved, but we are not chosen Israel. So he's warning the chosen people of God who have rejected Christ as Messiah, they are broken off of the tree. And you are grafted in. Those branches that were broken off, do not boast against them. As if you have a superior position than they. He goes on to talk about this boasting. And if you do boast, remember that you yourself are not bearing up the root, but rather the root is bearing up you. Later he will describe how the warning against God's people in verse 19, that if they do boast, they themselves can be broken off and removed just like the others. What will you say, therefore? The branches were broken off in order that I might be grafted in. Well, you've well said. Because of unbelief, they were broken off, and you yourself have been standing by faith. Do not be high-minded, but fear. He's talking about a frame of mind that basically says, I am now grafted in, I'm not like those other non-believers. He says, well then, instead of being high-minded, you better fear. For if God did not spare the branches that were according to nature, perhaps neither will he spare you. Therefore, behold the goodness and severity of God. On the one hand, upon the ones who have fallen, severity. But on the other hand, upon you, goodness. If you should remain in that goodness, since also you yourself will be cut off. And also those, if they should not continue in their unbelief, they will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them back in. The same branches that he broke off, he is cut out, he is perfectly capable of taking those branches and grafting them back in. For if you yourself were cut out of the natural, of the wild, you out of the old, wild, by nature, olive tree, and were grafted in contrary to nature, how much more these who were by nature will be grafted in to their own olive tree. So he's given by way of explanation how God's plan works, along with a warning. Don't be high-minded. Now, there is a principle, there is an element that we need to understand about the Lord's presentation, because Paul's basically taking a presentation of Jesus and summarizing it so that Gentiles will understand where they stand and the warning for them not to be high-minded but to fear. Others will say, but it sounds like you can lose your salvation because we are being warned that we are grafted in to the tree, but we also can be cut out again. And those who were broken off and cut out can be grafted back in if they ever began to believe. And so there's a question about this olive tree and the standing of God and how all of this works. If you'll turn with me, please, to John chapter 15. John chapter 15 explains this to us. It's probably the teaching that Paul was making reference to. But remember, Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11 were written to Jews and about Jews. So Gentiles have a lot of questions. Well, what about this? Paul didn't address a lot of those issues. Chapters 13 through 17, Jesus is alone with his disciples before he dies on the cross. And in chapter 15, he talks to them about the vine. Remember, Israel in the Old Testament is symbolized by a wild olive tree or a natural olive tree, by a vine, by a fig tree. All of these denoting certain religious and spiritual aspects of Israel. So in chapter 15, Isaiah chapter 5, by the way, is the song of the vine by which this basically is made reference to. Jesus said, I myself am the true vine, where true means genuine. I'm not a symbol. I'm the vine. And my Father is the husbandman, that is, the farmer who works the vineyard. Every branch in me not bearing fruit, he removes it. And every branch bearing fruit, he cleanses it. Very interesting statements. It introduces to us one of two phases or conditions that we need to understand. Every branch in me not bearing fruit, the Father removes. There's a phrase that says, in me, and there's a phrase that says, abide in me. Those have two different meanings. Those who are in him are the Jews. Those who are abiding in him are the believing Jews who are connected to the source of life through Christ. That's why Jesus can say, every branch in me, in the vine, not bearing fruit, the Father removes it. And every branch that is bearing fruit, and then the various English translations will either say, prunes it or cuts it, but it's literally he cleanses it. Matches what he's going to say here in a moment, but it was just recently that archaeologists found out that indeed in those times in Palestine, they actually had a solution, a liquid solution that they would put on the vines to cleanse the vines. And that's the word that's used here. He cleanses that part of the vine that is bearing fruit, in order that it might bear more fruit. You are already clean. See why cleansing is important for that last verse? Jesus is saying that they are the branches, and he says, you're already clean on account of the word which I have spoken unto you. When we sit under the ministry of God's Spirit through his word, and I say it that way on purpose, it's not Bible study or sermons or messages from the Bible. That, a lot, if not most of the time, has nothing to do with sitting under the word of God. It's when God's Spirit is ministering through the truth of his word. Indeed, God's word ministers to his people. Jesus, in using the perfect tense by saying that you are cleansed through the word which I have spoken to you, means all the words that I've been speaking to you, they are words of cleansing, so that you might bear fruit. The hearing of God's word is cleansing for God's people. It's encouraging, it's instructive, but it's cleansing. But you are already clean on account of the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me. There you go. There are those natural branches that are in him because they are Israel. And he is the vine in which Israel is in. But as each of those branches representing part of Israel, as each of those branches begin to die off because they have rejected the root of the vine, they become dead. And the vine dresser comes and cuts those off because they are no longer connected to the life of the vine. But then there are other parts of the vine that are blossoming and growing and beginning to produce fruit. He says the husbandman cleanses those so that they might produce more fruit. So he gives a command, abide in me. There's a difference between being in him, as far as the vine, the oak tree, and abiding in him, as far as the Greek text is concerned. He says, abide in me, and I also in you. According as the branch is not able to bear fruit from itself unless it should abide in the vine. Not just be in the vine, but abide in the vine. So John is using the term abide to describe that function where the actual life of the tree trunk is actually flowing inside the branch. There's life from the tree, that junction right there where the branch is connected internally to the life of the tree, Jesus says that's called abiding. Just being physically stuck to the tree, by all outward observations, it looks the same as the one who's abiding in the tree, but that all comes by the fruit. That's why Jesus said, by their fruit you shall know them. Just like today, a branch can hang a sign out. I am of the Lord. But it's a dead branch. It's like, it doesn't make sense. If you have the life of the Lord flowing in you and through you, you should be bearing fruit. Where's the fruit? You're dead. The life of Christ is not there. Abide in me, and I also in you. According as the branch is not able to bear fruit from itself unless it should abide in the vine. So, or in the same way, neither you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who is abiding, that's a present participle. The one who is continually abiding in me, and I also in him, this one is bearing much fruit. not should bear much fruit, is bearing much fruit. Because without me, you are not able to do one thing. And so he goes on to explain to them that he has chosen them to bear fruit. But there's a factual statement there. Every branch that abides in the vine is bearing fruit. Has to. Because it's the life of Christ that bears the fruit. So if we have the life of Christ in us, he is constantly cleansing us and doing what is necessary in our lives to bear fruit. And he is the bearer of that fruit. And it's a factual statement. The one who is abiding in me is bearing much fruit. So the principle that we learn is that there can be a branch in the vine, a branch in the olive tree that is attached, that is physically in the tree, but is not abiding in the tree. That is, as far as the life of the tree goes, it has no association with the tree. And because it has no nourishment and life being pumped up through the branch dies and it's removed. But Paul in Romans 11 is saying that God has the ability to even take that dead branch and graft it back in and give it the ability to receive the nourishment of the root again. What he's talking about is a presentation of God's plan that both believing Jews and Gentiles are grafted in to the same tree. Those people who say, those people who respond to believe but don't bear fruit, God comes along and cuts them out. They're not the real thing. Just as with Israel, they were in the vine, but not all were abiding in the vine. So now God has given the Gentile the same opportunity to be in the tree as long as it abides in the tree. So being in the Lord and in the tree and in the vine is the first step. And if indeed that vine or that branch does not produce fruit, it's removed. God is perfectly capable to take that dead branch and graft it back in again and cause it to bear fruit. So the warning for us is that don't boast against those branches who were broken out. Don't take that arrogant position that we are the natural branches. We are God's people. Because God's people, the Jews, rejected him. No, they're still his people. I've had an opportunity to be grafted in. Am I the real thing? Am I truly saved? Am I really of the Lord? Then my life will be bearing fruit. If not, my life will not be bearing fruit. And in fact, I'll be cut out of the vine or the tree. So there's some understanding here as to what these concepts represent and how the Gentiles are given the opportunity. And at the same time, they can reject Christ just like the Jews. They can be cut out of the tree if they reject Christ. But those who believe will bear fruit. So in Romans chapter 11, that's the warning. The teaching that is based on is John chapter 15, the Lord's teaching about the vine and the branches. There are many people who are associated with Christ religiously, who confess to be and belong to Christ and be Christ believers. But I think it's interesting what really influences the teaching and understanding of these texts about the vine and the olive tree. It's not the profession or confession of the branch. It has nothing to do with it. As Jesus said, many will come before him. Say, have we not done many things in your name? That's not fruit. And Jesus said in the end, he will say to them, depart from me, for I never knew you. It is him knowing me. It's the root system feeding me. It's from the root system, God producing his fruit in me. I can physically associate. And I can base my Christian salvation on many things that I do and believe. But the question is, does he know me? Paul tells Timothy, God knows his own. He knows those who are his. And the evidence that he knows me will be the fruit that he bears, not on anything that I have done. But there's a warning. Be careful that you're not physically associated with the Lord and you're not spiritually saved and joined to him. Because the vine dresser will only be looking for dead branches versus branches that bear fruit. That's it. Not what anybody says. Really, not what anybody does. It's what God's doing. To close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word that helps straighten things out for us. Some things are difficult for us to understand. But again, we're studying your ways, your plan, that we might understand your ways and receive the warning that comes, that we should not be high-minded but fear, knowing we too could be cut out if indeed our life does not bear fruit. And even those branches that we boast against, that Paul warns us about, even those dead branches can be grafted back in. God has that kind of ability. So we walk in a fearful reverence of you, thanking you for the opportunity to be a part of your kingdom because of the rejection of the Jews. Help us not to take that for granted. Help us to realize our position in your plan and with your people, and that we too will come to hear your word as often as we can and receive that cleansing that is necessary for the bearing of fruit. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.